know, and I was trying to write my sermon, and I was trying to think of what to give to you guys at the end of 2015, and I was thinking about finishing out the Sermon on the Mount series, but then God put a very pressing word upon my heart, and the word was fruitfulness. Everybody say fruitfulness. And also another word that came to mind, and it was pruning, okay? Pruning, you guys know what pruning is? It's not making prunes. Pruning is when you cut, you know, cut the leaves and the stems of a tree or a plant to make it grow. And you know, as I wrote this sermon yesterday, I felt so bad, right? This morning, you know, I had all these people pray for me. Last night, I put it on Facebook. I said, New Philly, pray for me. I feel like Dookie. And I was like, you know, like I haven't been this sick like in a long time. I said, pray for me. And I went to sleep yesterday. You know, I couldn't really get a lot of my sermon then. I was just, I had this fog in my head. I just went to sleep. I woke up this morning. I felt so much better. And I felt like 100% better. Not 100%. I still had this cough. But like that body ache, the momsar was gone. You know, and I could think. And so as I was writing the sermon this morning, you know, like I went from just very sick and discouraged to like God really ministered to me as I wrote this sermon. You know, God really ministered to my heart. And I hope that as I preach this to you, that God will also minister to your heart. 2015 for New Philly, Busan, has been a year of up and down. We started this year with increase. We had new leaders, new members. I was able to come on as full-time staff. You know, before 2015, I was a lay leader. So I was a campus pastor, but the church didn't support me. I was working at Sharky's for 2 years, a year and a half, or almost 2 years, as a cook. And then I took a job at a Hagwon, where they worked you like Hebrew slaves for another 2 years. And then our church grew to the point where they could support me. And so from the beginning of this year, March of this year, I was able to come on as staff. So it was a time of increase for us. We saw new members come on. We saw new leaders come on. And it was a time of great blessing. But there was also a time where a lot of people were also leaving our community. People that had been staying with us for a long time left our community, moving to Seoul, moving to other churches. And 2015 was also a year where we really felt the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit. It was exciting. It was very zealous. But it was also a time where we really felt this weightiness at times. And we really had to press in. You know, and some of the you leaders, you guys know about the weight and the pressure that we felt throughout near the end of this year. And so it was this time of up and down, up and down. And I mentioned at this our Sunday swim prayer meeting a few weeks ago that near the end of 2015, as we were coming to this end, I felt like God was pulling and pulling and like removing some of the grace over our house. Now, I'm not talking about grace as in like saving grace. God, you know, once we're saved, He saves us. He will continue to save. That's not the grace I'm talking about. I'm talking about grace, enabling grace. God enables us to do things. When there's a grace over us, God gives me a grace to preach and preach well. It's not because I am so great. It's because He gives me the grace. He gives me the anointing. And there are times when God will pull grace. Okay. And I felt, I mentioned this in our prayer meeting, that it was a time where God was pulling certain graces from over our church and over individuals of our church. And it was not because we're being unfaithful. You gotta have to understand, when God pulls grace, it's not necessarily because we're being unfaithful. It's not because of sin. It's not because of punishment. A lot of times, the first thing that comes to our mind is, what did we do wrong? And when I was young, my dad would look like he's in a bad mood. And I would think like, oh, what did I do? Even now, when Mina, I come home and she's like, I'm like, first thing that comes to my head, what did I do? And I go, honey, are you mad at me? And she's like, no, it's something else. But that's our tendency as people, you know, like as human nature, whenever something like bad or like, you know, not right is going on, the first thing that we think is, what did I do wrong? What's wrong? But thank the Lord that God is not like man. But when God pulls grace, when He disciplines, when we face difficulties, when we face trials, it's ultimately for His good and His glory. So it's ultimately for our good. And I was thinking of this. God led me to John 15, verses 1 through 17. Let's open up our Bibles and turn to John 15. verses 1 through 17. All right, I'm going to read it to you guys. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that is, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of my word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friend. You are my friend if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for servants does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Now, Jesus gives us here an image of a vine tree. Most likely, he's referring to grapes. The vine would be the part of the tree that's connected to the soil, which is connected to like the root system, where all the nutrients for the tree come from. And we are referred to as branches. Branches that come out from the vine. And, you know, we have the leaves. And God the Father is referred to as the vine dresser. He's the one that tends to the trees. And God is all about fruitfulness. Everybody say fruitfulness. The mandate that he gave man was Genesis 1:28. Be fruitful and multiply. If you look at creation, everything about creation is fruitful. Animals, okay, they're very fruitful. If you leave three or four rabbits in a confined space, give them some food, you come back here, go back to that same place, a few months later, there'll be many rabbits, right? Animals are inherently fruitful. Plants, trees, flowers, they're fruitful. They're made to bear fruit and multiply. Even rocks. You guys think, well, how is a rock fruitful? Okay, a rock is basically, you know, like if you crush rock into little pieces, it becomes soil. And you can't bear fruit without soil. This world would cease to exist if there were no soil. The way that God made creation, it was meant to be fruitful. He wants us to bear fruit, but we have very little to do with the bearing of fruit. As a branch, the only thing that God calls us to do is stick to the vine. Abide in the vine, abide in me, and I in you. That word abide is called meno, and it means to remain, to continue to be present, to endure, to wait on. God's saying, I want you to be fruitful, but none of that fruit is going to be produced by you. You're just going to bear it. And you bear it by being connected to me. It's like a child. I want Ethan to have food. I want him to have food. I want him to have clothes and toys. I want him to have a place to sleep. But I don't expect him to produce those things. I don't expect him to go out and get a job and make money so that he can have these things. He's 2 years old. Okay? Those things come from me. I produce those things. As long as he abides in me, as long as he lives in my house, remains in me, he gets it. he bears those things. You know, Mina and I, we got him Christmas time, and we went and got him this train set. It's great. It's big. And it's like electronic, and it goes choo choo choo, and it says many different things. And I saw him open it. And it was like, oh, choo choo train. And he talks now. He's like, oh, yorojo, yo yorojo. He opened it. We opened it for him, and we kind of put it together. And like he started to play with it, and I received joy as he received that. I received so much like joy and happiness as he got to play with it, and as he got to like experience this train set that he received. It gave me joy for him to receive it. It made me happy for him to play with it. And God wants us to bear fruit, because the fruitfulness that he produces in us, it gives him joy, it gives him glory. When we are fruitful, it glorifies the Lord. When we bear fruit, it glorifies him. Now before I go on, I want to define what fruit is. What is fruit? What is the fruit in our lives? A lot of people identify it as new converts. Okay, when I was growing up, people would always talk about fruit, and we would talk about it as, you know, being fruitful means you were able to evangelize and bring new converts into the church. That is an aspect of fruit, very important, okay? But that is not the main objective of our fruitfulness. Jesus said that a tree is judged by its fruit. We can have a whole bunch of new converts as fruit, but if that's only our main objective is to get new converts, how fruity do you think those new converts will be? If I'm only focused on filling these seats, how fruity will those seat fillers be? There is a deeper understanding of fruit that God wants us to understand, and I wanted to define it in this way. Fruit is the outward manifestation of our inward nature. Say it again. Fruit is the outward manifestation of our inward nature. Okay? A branch bears apples. Why? Chelsea, a branch bears apples. Why? Because it's an apple tree. Okay? Because there is, in that tree, there is DNA that tells that branch that it will produce apples, okay? Like a pear tree will not one day start to bear apples. And fruit is the manifestation of what is within. What is within an apple tree is everything that it is to produce apples. You know, some people, they can look at a tree and know what kind of a tree it is. I bet you Noble can do that. He was arborist. If he looks at a tree, that's an apple tree. Me, that is just a tree. I can't do that. So I can tell by the fruit. If you are a Christian and he is in you, you will bear his fruit. And it's not might, it's not may, but you will. You will bear fruit. Everyone say to your neighbors, you will bear fruit. What does it say? By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Fruit not just glorifies God, but it proves that we are followers of Jesus. What God wants us to show the world isn't religion, it's fruit. How we prove to the world that we are followers of Jesus is fruit. It's not denominations. It's not doctrine. Doctrine is important, yes. But Jesus never said, they will know that you are my disciples by your doctrine. He said, they will know you are my disciples by my love, by the fruit that you bear. The fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It says, against such things, there is no law. Nothing can come against us if we are bearing fruit. That's why God wants to produce fruit in us. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants what is within us, which is Christ Jesus himself, to manifest in our lives. Now, how is fruit bared? I looked that up. I wrote that, and there was an under red squiggly mark at the bottom. It's like, oh, that's not a word. So how is fruit born? Okay, how do we bear fruit? And in the Word of God, it says, easy. Abide in me, remain in me, and you will bear much fruit. Remain in me, abide in me. Well, how do we do that? How do we abide in the Lord? I want us to read together verses 7. It says, let's read it together. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Let's read that again. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. I'm going to read it to you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. You abide in him through the word of God. You want Christ in you. You have to have this in you. And Jesus said, you know, when Jesus left the earth, you know, he died. He rose again. He hung out with his disciples and he ascended into heaven. As he ascended into heaven, what is the two things that he left behind for us? What is the two legacy of Jesus Christ that still remains on this earth, that continues to encourage his people, strengthen his people, transform his people? What are the two things? It's the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a person. Okay, he's not a thing. He's a person. But the two that remain, Word of God, the words that he spoke, and is the Holy Spirit. Two remnants of Jesus Christ being on earth is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And God chooses man, he chooses us, he chooses you to manifest his kingdom on this earth, equipped with his Word by his Spirit. And if we are to bear fruit and be fruity like God wants us to be, we have to have the Word of God living and active in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, say I'm the master sword maker, okay, all right, and you know, I have a better example. I'm not very administratively gifted, right? But my wife is very administratively gifted. She's like she thinks administratively. That's also because she was kind of born that way, but she also worked as our church admin for so long that her mind naturally starts to become administratively gifted, right? And then when I became on staff and I had to do some of the admin stuff, she was teaching me. And she would say, okay, do this. After you do this, make sure you go to this Google Doc, write this down, make sure you do this and do that. And then I was just like, uh-huh, mm-hmm. And she would say, yo, write this down. You need to write this down, right? And I was like, oh, okay. And I would write it down. But it's true. Like the written word of God, okay, is the only thing. These are the instructions that Christ gave us after he left. And this is how he's going to manifest his presence, his will, his calling in our life. It's going to come through this by the power of the Holy Spirit. And without the word of God in us, without the word of God written in our hearts, without the word of God, like, you know, us realizing and understanding the word of God, we're not going to be able to bear fruit. We're not going to be able to abide in him. We're not going to be able to remain in him. We abide in him through the word of God. But we also abide in him. It says, let's move on. It says, okay, let's read it together. Verse 8. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Verse 9, and the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. We abide in him through obedience. Obedience to the word of God. It says, Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. The word of God cannot just end with us hearing the word or even just understanding the word. But we abide in him when we actually start to live out and do the word of God. You know, I went bungee jumping one time. Who's gone bungee jumping? Anybody go bungee jumping? I went bungee jumping in Bundang. And they give you this little really, like, it's literally a 1 minute course. This is your harness. This is the rope. This harness is strong enough to support your weight. This rope is the right length so that you will not hit the ground. Okay? And we guarantee you that, you know, like everything, the scientific equations for you not hitting the ground is all done. And so you can just trust in this harness and trust in this rope and you can jump and it'll be fine. Okay? You can know that, right? You know that in your head. As you're going up that elevator, it goes, and you start going higher and higher. You know that, oh, this harness, I know, I understand that this harness will support my weight. Okay. I understand that this rope is the right length and the right elasticity that I will bounce back and not come hard, like, you know, like fall to my death. Like the science is there. I understand that, right? But understanding that and actually jumping is a whole nother story. To understand the word of God is one thing, but to actually live the word of God is something else. You know, there's a lot of people that understand the word of God. There's a lot of people that can preach the word of God. But do you live the word of God? Is the word of God the inward manifest, the external manifestation of what is inside of you? Be doers of the word of God. Matthew 7, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Be doers of the word of God. You abide in him. If you want to remain in him, it's not just to know the word of God. It's not just to understand it. But it's to do it. You know, a lot of me, especially, understanding, good. You know, reading and hearing, good. But when it comes to living it, when it comes to manifesting it, not so good. God challenges me every day. But if we want to abide in him, if we want to remain in him and bear fruit, it's to manifest the word of God in our life. It's to live it. I want to point something out to you. It says, let's read verse 12 of chapter 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friend. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friend, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. We can't be doers of the word until we truly understand what has been done to us. We can't love until we first know how much he loved us and how much he continues to love us. We can't truly forgive until we know how much we've been forgiven of. We can't truly be generous until we understand how much we have been given. He first loved us. He first chose us. It comes down to the gospel of Jesus Christ. In order to bear fruit in our lives, we have to continually live out the gospel of Jesus Christ in our lives. Some of you feel down. Some of you feel a little depressed. You don't need a therapist. You need a fresh revelation of Jesus Christ. You need a fresh revelation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I say the word revelation and not just understanding, because we understand, but God reveals. We can understand all we want. But what we need is revelation. We need God to shine his light. When that happens, we change. We can know about forgiveness. And we can understand the concept of forgiveness. We can understand the concept of love. But it's a different thing when God reveals it to us. What we have to seek is revelation. A constant revelation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That comes from intimacy, guys. You're not going to be able to get that. That comes from going into the place of the presence of the Lord and remaining in His presence and seeking it out and going past that point of knowing and understanding to the place of revealing. And as we abide in Christ, we abide in His words, living out His commandments with a fresh revelation of His gospel, we can bear fruit. We can't help but bear fruit. You guys know that? When you are walking right with the Lord, when you're walking in His word and you're living out His word, you can't help but bear fruit. You can't help but have love and joy and peace manifest in your life. You can't help but have patience. You know, the patience is very difficult. God gives us children to teach us about patience. Now, today I was leaving the house, and we were like, we're already late. We're like, oh, come on, let's go. And then Ethan is in his room, and me and Mina, we're all getting ready. And then I go to pick up Ethan, and he goes, poo, poo. He pooped. And I was like, ah. I had to grab him. I change his diaper, and we're like, got his diaper all changed. And then I sit him down, and I throw the diaper away. I come out, and he goes, bleh, and throws up everywhere. And at that moment, I realized, the only way that I would not be this patient with anybody else. If Claire did that to me, I was like, peace, Claire. Clean that up on your own. But the only reason that I'm able to have patience like this is because I love my child. And that is a fruit that is born from relationship. And it's the same way is that as God's going to bear His fruit in us as we connect with Him in love. He talks about it and He's like, know my love, abide in my love, and you're living out my commandments. And we will, if we are walking and living His word, we will bear fruit. Now, I want to close with this last point. It says that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. If you're a true follower of Jesus Christ, and you bear fruit that manifests Him who is within, you will be pruned. That is a fact. If you're walking right with God, He will prune you. You know, and when I worked for the Hagwon, I inherited this basil plant. Who likes basil? I love basil. It smells like, you know, like when you were young and you had those, I don't know, maybe I'm dating myself, but we used to have these scratch and sniff stickers, right? Who remembers scratch and sniff stickers? And my favorite was the pizza one. You scratch it and you go, and you're like, oh, it smells so good, right? But that smell is the smell of basil. So every time I smell basil, I was like, oh, pizza, right? And I had this basil plant. I inherited it from my previous worker. And it was like growing at this weird angle. And when I got it, it was like almost dead. It was like about to go. It was about to die. But then I started to take care of it very well. I watered it, put it in the sun. I rotated it every day. And it started to kind of get bigger and bigger and bigger. And I started getting proud of it. I was like, oh, man. It's like, it's getting there. It's looking good. I was able to pick some, and I would like chew on it. I'd take some home, put some in my pasta, whatever. And then my boss, Mark, and he's like, he's one of those green thumb. He goes, man, you have to prune it now. You have to start to like cut these. And it's like, what do you mean cut this? That's like half the plant. What are you even talking about, man? That's where all of the basil's growing. He's like, no, you got to cut it right here so that you can grow more. I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. He's like, just do it. You know, you just cut it. I was like, ah! He's like, take this home and cook with it. I was like, and then he cut it and he took out all, and it just looked like just a two sticks sticking out with some green on it. And I was like, very discouraged. And then I kept on watering it. And about 2 months later, it was the same size it was before it was cut, but now it was fuller. Because where there was one, when you cut it, two grew out. And then when you cut that, two more grows out. Now you have four. And by the time it had gotten so big that, and I gotten so much basil from it, that I was able to make pesto every 2 weeks. I got enough basil, which was like this big plastic bag of basil, and I would go and I'd make really good pesto, and I'll give some to my boss, and I would eat pesto. And it came from, like if you saw the original plant, you would say, oh, you can have like four slices of pizza with some basil, and you'd be happy with it. But by the end of all of the pruning and the growing, I was harvesting huge bags of basil, where I would give some to my coworker. And I said, you saw my basil plant, right? Thing was huge, right? I would get so much basil that I would be like, it would just sit in my refrigerator sometimes. But that comes from pruning. It comes from cutting. And I want to tell you, as you bear fruit in your life and you desire for more of God, you're inviting the giant vine dresser. You're inviting Father God to come and prune you. I want to tell you something else. Getting pruned is not fun. It's not fun to be pruned. You think it's fun for a basil tree? Snip. Ah! That's what I imagine when I cut, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. But getting pruned is not fun. And sometimes it's downright painful. But God does it for your good. God will cut away certain things. He will remove certain things so that you can grow and bear more fruit. So that your fruit will be sweeter. He may remove certain graces. I talked about it earlier. I talked about it that how in 2015, I felt like God removed certain graces from New Philly Busan. I shared this at JPM on Sunday. And Pastor Myung-ho, I had lunch with her on Sunday. And then she was like, yeah, that's exactly how I feel for Omega as well. I feel like God has removed certain graces. And it's not because we're doing things wrong. It's because we're doing things right. And God wants to prune us. It's a time of pruning for our church. It's a time of pruning for our campus. He will remove certain graces. And where things that were easy will not be so easy anymore. Doesn't mean that we give up. But it means we have to put that much more resistance, that much more, you know, like zeal and pressure and jump and rise to get to that place. I mentioned this a few weeks ago about being in the wilderness. We get sometimes we say, oh, sorry. I don't know. I'm still sick from yesterday. Sorry. I talked about it a few weeks ago at our swim where sometimes, you know, we feel like we're in this wilderness period. Where we feel dry. We feel like, oh, this, like what was so easy before is not so easy anymore. What gave us joy doesn't give us joy anymore. And that wilderness period isn't for us to just sit around and do nothing. Just say, oh, I'm in the wilderness. What am I going to do? But that wilderness period is so that we do everything that we can to survive in that wilderness. I talked about that guy Bear Grylls and his show. He'll go out into the desert. He'll go out somewhere, and he'll be there with a stick and some rubber bands, and he will survive. He'll be out there in some desert, and he'll use the stick to dig up some bugs, and he'll eat it. And he'll use some rubber bands to make some contraption and make water. But he will survive. But that's what we're called to do when we're in the wilderness. It's not a time to just kick back and relax. Wilderness is for us to even contend even harder to produce what we were producing before. But God doesn't do that to punish us. He doesn't do that to make us, you know, feel diminished, to discourage us. He does that to make us stronger. He does that so that it's like working out. When we work out, like 100 pounds is hard at first, but if you keep doing it, it becomes easier. And God will put seasons of pressure on our lives so that when we resist, that resisting becomes easier and easier, and that we overcome the resistance. It is a season where God has removed certain graces. It's not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be so easy as it was before. But God is challenging us right now. God is challenging you. Will you step up? Will you push past the resistance? He might remove certain people from your life to prune you. He might remove some bad influences that need to go. You know, when I was coming back to the Lord, I used to smoke a lot. And then, like, it was a very, like, at first when I tried to quit, I was like, oh, it's so hard. You know, I want to smoke. But I want to quit. It was like this up and down. And I would always have, like some bag in my house would have a pack of cigarettes in it. And then I went on this mission trip in 2009 to India. I went there with Mina and a bunch of our leaders. At that time, I was still smoking, still drinking. But I lied and I said, all right, I want to go on missions. I went on missions. God changed my life, right? God really touched it. I saw things that I never like expected to see. I saw a side of my heart that I never expected to be there, right? Really opened my eyes to the glory of God and what God is doing. Not just in our city, but out there. You know, in these slums and in these places where like where you see people living and thriving in a way that you've never seen before. And it transformed my life, right? Came back to the Lord, but I was still smoking, I was still drinking. And I remember but I was still at the same time I was contending for the Lord all of a sudden. I was like fighting, I was like going to Friday Fire, I was like, you know, wanted more of God. And what happened was as I was going through this season, God removed cigarettes from my life. He just removed it. He pruned it. He just took it away. Where I needed it. And one day, I just found, like, one day I looked in my bag and I was like, had a full pack of cigarettes. And I hadn't smoked. It's like I forgot that I smoked cigarettes. Like, God will remove certain bad things from your life. If you have a bad influence, God might prune you and remove that bad influence in your life. When He removes that, your job is to not run after it. But you're going to want to run after it. When God removes a certain person from your life, your desire is going to be like, man, like I want to run after that. But if God prunes it, you got to let that go. You got to let that go. And God may also remove good people from your life. God may remove good people from your life, even good influences on your life, because He wants you to rely on Him more than them. Now, I feel like as Pastor Lydia is leaving for Seoul, it's a pruning for us. For some of our leaders, God is pruning you. As God has removed her, it's not God removed her, took her away because she's bad. God, you know, sent her off to Seoul. God sent her off to Seoul. You know what? It's an opportunity for leaders in this church to rise up. There's a vacancy there. She used to preach Friday Fires. You know what? I believe that there are certain leaders in this and in our church that's going to rise up and start to preach Friday Fires. There's going to be opportunity. There's going to be new grace that's released. It's going to come as God prunes us. When I first heard Lydia was leaving, I got very depressed. And I got kind of downcasted. But as I was writing this sermon and as I was experiencing, like He was manifesting His Spirit in me as I was writing this, I came to a place of hope. I was like, man, Where the place that Lydia filled, God's going to fill it with you taking your place. To strengthen us, cause us to bear more fruit, so that we will have more room and more opportunity to take your place. Grow and mature, to be more fruitful. And it's not easy. Pruning is not easy. Pruning sometimes will be very painful. Some of you guys are going through very tough seasons in your life. You have to see it as, is it just a tough season or is God trying to prune you? Is God trying to discipline you? Is He trying to strengthen you? Because you know what? He disciplines the ones He loves. When God disciplines you, it's not because you did something wrong. But He disciplines you because sometimes you're doing something right. But it will give you that place to grow and bear fruit as you go against the resistance, as you fight and contend. I got a lot of peace as I was writing this sermon. I got a lot of joy because in verse 11 it says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be full." And I felt so crappy yesterday, man. You don't even know. I was running out of the taxi cab. I was running to the KTX, and I ran, and I threw up in the bathroom. I came up, and I was like, in my head, I was like, oh, I gotta write this sermon, and I was like, ah. But as it wasn't just my body feeling better, but as God realigned the Word of God in my heart and helped me to see things through His perspective, man, I feel so much better. I feel so Spirit-led. And some of you guys in the house, you guys have been going through seasons like that. You guys have been going through seasons where it's been like a pressure cooker, where things that were so easy before is so hard, where things that were easy, now it feels like it's you're being grounded, you're being crushed. Well, that's happening. It might be God crushing you so you could release more fruit. A seed has to die in order for it to bear fruit. I'm decreeing, declaring that it will be a year of fresh hope for us. I believe that as we endure and as we press and as we remain in Him through this pruning season, there's going to be greater grace that's released. There's going to be bigger challenges that God brings us into. There's going to be more blessings and more fruitfulness that we're going to experience. But I encourage you guys to remain in the Lord, to abide in Him, abide in His Word, and allow His Word to not just be in you, but transform you so that you do His Word. I pray that this year will be very fruitful. And I pray that this year for you will be also a very fruitful one. Let's pray. It's the last Sunday of 2015. As we end on this note, a sermon about fruitfulness and about pruning, I want to pray for some of you guys that's had a very tough 2015. Some of you guys, this year was crushing. It was very difficult. Some of you were very stretched. You guys felt in a lot of pressure. You guys felt like you guys were being crushed. But I want to tell you, it's perspective. You can feel that way and be led to hopelessness. Or you can be pruned and be led to fruitfulness. For those of you guys that's had a tough 2015, I want to pray for you guys. If you've had a year that's been just filled with heaviness and difficulties. You've had things in your life it's been hard to just move forward. I want you guys to stand up. I want to pray for you guys. I want you guys to know it's about perspective. It's God's perspective. It's God's eyes, the way that He sees. And as you've endured this year, I want you to change your thinking. Change your perspective. And I want you to look at the vine dresser. Imagine yourself as a branch. Imagine Father God. And He has these big clippers. And he's cutting, He's clipping. And there are times where you've cried out, you've cried. It's hurt, it's been crushing. It's been difficult. But I want you to picture Father God. And He's not doing it to punish you. He's not doing it to discourage you or crush you. He's doing it so that you will be more fruitful. He's doing it because you are fruitful now. But He wants you to be more fruitful. He wants you to be strong. You are strong now, but He wants you to be stronger. I want this revelation to come upon your heart. I want it to be caught in your spirit. That what you endured, what you went through was not to break you, but it was to make you stronger. What you had to fight through, and what felt like things were crushing you down, it wasn't to destroy you. It was to make you more fruitful. It was to bring increase into your life. It was to bring strength into your life. It was ultimately to make you more like Him. And with this new perspective, I want you to look for the payoff. Because ultimately, you don't get clipped. You don't get pruned just for nothing. There is a payoff. You know those big plastic bags of basil? That was my payoff. It was tough when Mark took that big old chunk of basil plant, he cut it, and I was like, ah! But it paid off. I saw, like, exponentially more fruit. And as you look towards, and as you look back at all the difficult times that you've faced, all of the difficult things that you've gone through, I want you to look at your heart. Abide in Him. Make a commitment now. Say, I will abide in the Lord. Repeat after me. I will abide in the Lord.
Abide in the Lord.
I will abide in Jesus Christ. And I will be fruitful. I will manifest my true nature, which is Christ in me. You have to look for the payoff. Because God doesn't prune you just to hurt you. He doesn't prune you just to so that you go through that pain. But there is increase in the other side. So Lord, you guys raise your hands. I want you guys to put your hands in the air and get into a position to receive. Father God, I pray for every single person in this room that's had a crushing, that's had a difficult 2015. Lord, I speak life over them right now. And I speak, Lord, a new revelation of the trials that they faced. I decree and declare that their minds right now, within their hearts, within their spirits, there be a new revelation of You pruning them. That as this revelation sinks in deep, God, there will be immense fruit that they bear in their lives. That fruit will not just be a little, will be immense, will be a lot, and that fruit will be sweet. I declare sweetness. I declare sweetness over you. That there will be sweet fruit as you bear fruit in your life. And it's not for you guys. You guys have to understand, as you bear fruit, it's not for you. It's for the kingdom. It's for the church. It's for the people. They will experience the fruit in you. You are being more like Christ. God is transforming you to be more like Him. Father God, I pray blessings upon him. We thank you for this year. And we thank you, Lord, that there's so much more to come. I decree and declare 2016 to be a year of increase for this church. A year of payout through the pruning that we're going through. Lord, we love you. And Lord, we want more of you. I pray for zeal, a zeal to rise up in this place. We glorify your name. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand up.